Good morning, and thank you for tuning in on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. This morning, we start in the midst of worship with this week's sermon. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
God is here in this place, and He is waiting with open heart to hear us. Let us go before Him in prayer. O God of change, as we watch the leaves turn to beautiful new colors of yellow and reds and brown, as we feel the air get more and more crisp each day, as we feel and smell a new feeling in the air, God, we marvel at your oversight of your creation. You know just what your plants and animals need. You created them all, and you created the seasonal cycle to give this earth an opportunity to heal and to rest. We thank you for the oncoming fall. Oh God, you are a God of the table, and we are blessed to be invited to the table of our Lord with all of our Christian sisters and brothers on this worldwide communion Sunday. May we feel the strength of your church universal, praying and worshiping together. May we deepen our commitments. May we have our vision elevated. And may our mission in this time and this place be made clear. Lord, save us as your church from all sinfulness and foolishness. Help us to not presume to use your word to our whim. Let us not use your word to justify our opinions or our prejudices. Remind us of the biblical truth that judgment rests in your hands and your hands alone. Cleanse us and challenge us and lead us so that we may be faithful to the heavenly vision. Today, as every day, God, we pray for our fragile world, where choices are being made in hatred, where violence is being planned or perpetrated, where any human turns away from a neighbor in anger. Lord, swing low and transform those hearts with love. Help us as your children to overcome our human inclination towards war and work instead for peace. We pray that you would give your church a faith which is as powerful and as influential as a grain of mustard seed, and that the influence of your church would be felt throughout the world. Give us the faith that we hold the key to a power we have left untapped. Give us the faith that though we individually feel we have little to offer, you, O God, can multiply our efforts. Give us the faith that boldly puts forth our gifts and refuses to minimize them. Give us the faith to believe that we can overcome this world. O God, we have so many within our church family that we remember today and every day in our prayers. We pray for those beloved in our church family who struggle with ongoing serious medical concerns. You know them each by name, and you know their needs. You hold healing power in your hands, and we pray your holy healing to be upon those who need it. We lift up this day the family of Lucy Ebert as they mourn her death. Comfort them and comfort us as we grieve. Hold their hands and give them strength as they begin to miss her. May her life and death sing of your glory to all who knew her. We pray for her family this week as they go about the work of planning her final farewell. May she be at peace. Lord, it can be hard to find peace in loss, but we know that with you at the core of our being, we can find peace in every circumstance. We thank you for your all-consuming love and healing that makes such peace possible. We thank you for the love that caused you to send your son. We thank you for his love that allowed him to give up his life, and the love that encases the world when we allow it. Oh God, we remember this day, his teachings, his leadership, and so we pray together in one voice the prayer that he taught his disciples, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold on to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you, with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us.
Well, each day, as the day before, you walk to the bus stop. You stand and chit-chat with other parents. You talk about the last PTA meeting. You talk about the homework that your child forgot to bring home. And they tell you about how their child ran out in their PJs last week right into the snow. You hear the telltale squeaking of a school bus. You know it's coming. Your child is almost home from school. This routine is pretty much the same every day. They come running down the bus steps into your arms, and you get a big hug from your big kid who just missed his mommy or daddy. But today, something is different. Your child climbs down those bus steps with a smirky grin on his face, a grin that instills fear in the heart of any parent. You can tell that something is up. It doesn't take you long to figure out what that something is. In your child's hand, there is something that's not usually there. They're carrying something that almost looks like a tiny, hard-sided suitcase. But you know it's much, much worse than that. It's not a suitcase. It's an instrument case. The sight is enough to make your head hurt just seeing it, because you know what is coming. Your child is so very excited to run to you to bring that instrument home and tell you excitedly that he chose the trumpet, that they lent him one to bring home, and that here is the paperwork to fill out. His little face is so excited, and you have that feeling in the pit of your stomach. You know what's coming. Because while your son dreams of a rousing rendition of Reveille and imagines learning awesome songs that he will play endlessly, while he imagines himself becoming the next trumpet superstar, you know full well how this will go. You know that before the songs, before the superstardom, come the scales. You know that you'll wish and long for the days of wrong notes of Yankee Doodle, because for the time being, the only thing that he will play is lots and lots of scales. Now, if you're not very musically inclined, scales are basically a set of notes that go up or down along the musical scale. One of the very first things that someone learns when learning an instrument is the basic scales. It helps them learn the note names, the sounds of the notes, get their hands used to playing. It just prepares them with a basic understanding of the music and the instrument. Of course, no one dreams at becoming a whiz at scales. They dream of playing their favorite song right away. But trained and talented musicians not only learn their scales first, but they continue to practice them. In any given conservatory of music, trained students who are working tirelessly to improve their musicianship continue to sing or play scales. It helps bring a flexibility to their playing or their singing. It gets them warmed up, and it reminds them of those basics on which they have built their musicianship. Learning those first basic steps of anything is critical to growing in whatever you're working on. And not only learning them at first, but continuing to practice those early skills, returning to the basics, keeps a person focused on the heart of what they are doing. And so we have been returning to the basics of our faith through our sermon series, Back to School, Back to Basics. For the past several weeks, we have been led through the remembering of key basic tenets of our faith and challenged not only to remember, but to integrate some of those basics back into our faith walk. As a musician must practice their scales, and as a ballet dancer must return to the basic exercises at the bar, so must we revisit the practices, the beliefs, and the teachings that are at the core of being a Christ follower. We've been reminded from the Gospel of Luke to make our faith our priority over absolutely everything else, even above our family. We've renewed our dedication to the mandate to go and tell others of the love and faith that we have received in the name of Jesus Christ. We were challenged by the reminder that we must love God more than money, and that we must find our contentedness in the life that God gives us. We must find our fulfillment in living for Christ and being who God has called us to be. So today we come to the completion of our series with a bit of a two-for-one basic. And even if you listened carefully to Pastor Justin's reading, you may not have noticed this particular basic. When reading scripture, it can be fairly easy to skim through the introductory part of a lesson and to focus on what you might be looking for as more important. I'm guilty of glossing over the salutations and the introductory statements, sometimes assuming that the meat of the lesson wouldn't be found there. And while there's plenty of meat in this reading, we will focus on verse 5 of the reading. Paul wrote to Timothy, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you." So here we read of the great strength and longevity of the faith of Timothy's family. If we had quickly skimmed these salutations, we may have missed this important basic of our faith, passing on our faith from one generation to the next. We are called to share the faith. Paul mentions Timothy's family's faith, not offhandedly, not in passing, but to draw attention to the foundation of Timothy's faith and point to the important task that believers are charged with, to pass on their faith. This writing is attributed to Paul, and while there is some question about whether the Apostle Paul actually wrote it himself or whether a follower of him wrote it in his name, it's widely considered to be Paul's swan song. These are some of his parting words that Paul was believed to have shared with Timothy not long before he died. Timothy was someone that Paul had invested in as a representative of the faith. Timothy and Paul's relationship was an important one. Paul even refers to Timothy as his loyal child in the faith. Timothy was nurtured in his faith and his ministry journey by Paul. And so here we read some of Paul's last instructions to Timothy. He begins that encouragement with praise of Timothy's family, who laid the faith groundwork for Timothy. You know, a person's religion used to be almost like a part of their DNA. There was a loyalty to the church in which you grew up, and it was part of your heritage. It was part of who you were at your core. Things have changed, though. While faith may have been a large part of how you were brought up, it's now quite common for people to not be nearly as loyal to their actual church or even their denomination. People relocate far more than we used to. While some people, and many here in Burlington, are born and raised and remain in their hometown, many people still move around quite a bit. In counting this week, I came up with 11 cities that I have lived in and some 17 homes, and I'm not very old. People move around a lot more, and when they do, people of faith look for a new church home, sometimes within their home denomination or church, but many times they'll shop around to a variety of churches. And not to diminish their faith, as many indeed remain faithful followers of Jesus Christ, but their devotion to one church is often not lifelong. So as cultural norms have shifted, where does our responsibility to share the faith come into play? How do we pass on our faith heritage, as Eunice and Lois did, not only to our own children of our own bloodline, but how do we raise up the next generation of the faithful? After all, when we celebrate a baptism in this place or a baby dedication, as a congregation, we make a vow to support that child, who may not be ours by birth. We support that child in their faith. We support the family as they raise the child to know of God's love. And we take a share of responsibility for sharing the witness of Jesus Christ's salvation of us all. We are called to share the faith. In order to share the faith, we are called to keep the story alive. And how do we do that? Well, think about some of your favorite family traditions. You tell and you retell them. You bring them back time and time again. Someone taught you or did something with you, and you in turn continued that with your family. Pastor Dave, for example, has fond memories of golfing with his father. He said sometimes his dad would pick him up from school and they would go play 9 holes and go out for pizza. And guess who Pastor Dave now brings to the golf outings for church? His own son. So that someday Sam will grow up with memories of golfing with his dad, and maybe someday will even bring his own son to golf. Heather Hayes recently shared on a church Facebook post that her grandma Velma taught her to cross-stitch. She read about cross-stitching and immediately her grandmother came to mind. We associate what we do with our loved ones. We think of their face almost immediately. We see them patiently teaching us and sharing these family traditions with us. Well, many of our family traditions center around food. Imagine your family Thanksgiving table. How many of the foods on that table come from a family recipe you learned to make as a child? How many of the dishes on that table were from pieces of an important family set of china? How many of us have fond memories of standing at the kitchen counter, peeling potatoes, or making pie crust, or whatever that favorite recipe was, with our grandmother or our father? Not just once, but over and over again. We keep stories alive through repetition. We pass along traditions by telling the story, by showing the photograph, by singing the same song over the crib every night as our baby falls asleep, by making the pie the same way every year. We keep stories alive by keeping them fresh in our minds and our hearts, and making sure that they stay fresh in the minds and hearts of our loved ones. Well, food is so central to most memories that we have. That Thanksgiving meal just wouldn't be the same without Aunt Thelma's oyster stuffing. Dad has to burn the turkey, and Mom, of course, will be in the kitchen calling orders. We are rooted in tradition, even when sometimes we don't realize it. I didn't know how tradition-based I was until I had my own children and moved far away from home. When I began to have Thanksgiving away from my family, I realized it just wouldn't be right without my mom's cranberry jello. Now, a lot of families have cranberry sauce, but in my house, I don't remember ever having cranberry sauce. We had a jello made from cranberry sauce with strawberries and bananas and walnuts, and for no reason at all, it was shaped like a seashell. And when I moved to Florida, I realized that I needed to learn to make this jello because it just wasn't Thanksgiving without it. And so thanks to the wonders of the internet, my mom sent me a seashell mold, and voila, Thanksgiving could proceed. I was very proud because it's hard to get it out of the seashell mold without messing it all up. But this extends way beyond the holiday table. Think about all the ways that we share food and pass it on to express so many different emotions. We use food to celebrate. We bring meals to the family of a new baby. We tailgate before the game and we eat and we toast and we celebrate our team. We bring casseroles to a family who has lost a loved one. We want to comfort them. We want to take away the responsibility of them having to prepare food. We serve a meal after the funeral for comfort, for fellowship, to show care and love and support. At many bridal showers, ladies who are attending are encouraged to bring their favorite recipe, and a recipe box is compiled for the new bride to have to share with her new family and her new home. We share food. We tell stories through our food. We share feelings through food. We often share family stories through the teaching and making of cherished recipes, because food tells stories. And so it is fitting that on this Sunday, when we discuss how to share and pass along our faith, we consider how food interacts with our faith story. Each Sunday, a very important part of our worship involves gathering around a table. Much like our family gathers around the dinner table to share about our days, to receive love and food and nourishment, we gather around the communion table every single week to eat and drink and to receive nourishment, both physically and nourishment for our souls. Gathering to share the communion meal is how we keep Christ's story alive. It's how we keep Christ's love alive. So how does sharing a meal tell a story? How does eating and drinking keep the story alive? How does the taste of bread and grapes keep the story alive? How does hearing the same words over and over keep the story alive? Well, it shares it with a new generation, and it repeats the story for us to consider and to reconsider all that Christ went through and sacrificed for each of us. Paul told the story to the church at Corinth when he wrote, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you." Now he's about to talk about the Lord's Supper. He says, "I received from the Lord, and I also have handed it on to you." That the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We keep telling the story each time we gather so that we are continuing to proclaim the Lord's death. We say the same words, repeat the words of Christ to proclaim his sacrifice, his saving act of death, and we continue to proclaim it until we meet him again. Sometimes, though, when we do something over and over, day after day, it becomes routine. It can become rote or habit, and we may be tempted to slide into complacency. We're tempted to go through the motions, much as we always have, and let the act of coming forward and eating just be a part of what we do on Sundays. Well, may this special day in the celebration of this table remind us that each time we do this is special. Each time is a moment to reflect, to remind ourselves and others just what Jesus Christ did, just what he went through for us. It is a time for us to be in prayer and consideration of our own selves when we come to eat and drink, and to strive to meet God at the table with a clean heart of wholeness. Well, since we often get stuck in our routines, and this can allow us to take repeated acts for granted, today we will do things a little differently. We will gather together. We will come forward. We will eat freshly baked gluten-free bread. We will come forward, break off a piece from a loaf made from flour and eggs and sugar and butter, stirred and poured and kneaded and baked for us. We will break off a piece and dip it into the cup, allowing the bread to soak up the red color of the grape. And when we take it into our mouths, let our senses be awakened to the taste, the smells, and the feel of this process. May we be aware that as we do this, we are telling the story. We are sharing in the passing of the faith. We are called to share our faith, and we are called to keep the story alive. We do this by sharing the scriptures with our children, praying with and for them. We do this by praying for the children of the church, teaching them in Sunday school and children's church. We do this by telling the stories and living the faith at this table. May we never be ashamed of what Christ has done for us. And may we heed the call to carry on the faith through our actions, our words, and our lives. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church Disciples of Christ here in Burlington, Iowa. We are located at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of town, in between the airport and Dankwart Park. If you're looking for a church home or looking to find a relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time, we hope that you will join us for worship this Sunday morning. We have two services every week. Our traditional service is at 8:45 a.m. and features old-time favorite hymns and a wonderful anthem by our chancel choir. Our contemporary service is at 10:45 and features our amazing band and music that you hear from today's Christian radio. Both services offer a hope-filled and challenging message for today, activities for youth and children of all ages, and open communion for all who believe in Christ. There is no better way than to begin your week with worship, so I hope you will join us. You can find out more information by going to our website at www.burlingtondoc.org, and you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at burlingtondoc. We hope you have a great week and share the love of God with someone today.